Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade,
saints and angels storm.
Good morning, Central Indiana. You're listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's word and desiring his coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and he is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life.
Good morning. I would like for you to listen to a message I brought several weeks back on a Sunday morning. Let's go ahead and listen to part two now.
Joseph received a double blessing, a double portion. Why? Because of what Joseph did in sparing the life of his brethren, the Egyptians and all the people in the earth in that time, God, his obedience to God and his failure, his lack of rebellion to God and murmuring against God and complaining against God and all the suffering that he went through. He had two sons in the land of Egypt, and they were Ephraim and Manasseh, and so Joseph is recognized twice through his sons, getting a double blessing of the inheritance because of their obedience. Now, you see Caleb, which tribe is Joshua from? Joshua was a leader. How come he's not mentioned there, or is he? Joshua has multiple names. I won't leave you hanging here. But Ephraim, Oshea is another name for Joshua. Okay? Or Joshua. Joshua. Also, look at this other name for Joshua in verse 16. These are the names of the men which Moses sent to spy out the land. And Moses called Oshea, the son of Nun, Jehoshua. Jehoshua. So Joshua has multiple names. Jehoshua means savior or deliverer. Verse 17, and Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said unto them, go get you up this way southward and go up into the mountain and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwell therein, whether they be strong or weak, few in many. Now keep your hand there for a minute. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 23. I want you to see something. Exodus chapter 23. And you're thinking, why is God sending out angels? I mean, why is God commanding Israel to send out spies? Verse 20, chapter 23, the book of Exodus. Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Okay? The Lord is speaking here. Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. The angel, that's a type of pre-incarnate Christ. Okay? That is speaking of Christ. Beware of him and obey his voice and provoke him. What? Oh, see that word there. What? Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. But God is promising that he will be with them and bring them into the place of promise. Verse 22, but if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thy enemies and an adversary unto thy adversaries. Verse 23, for my angel shall go before thee and bring thee in unto the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hivites, the Jebusites and all the other parasites, and I will cut them off. Okay? All the ites, the parasites of the land. So, but why then is God having them to send out spies, and he say, and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwell therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many? Let's continue reading. And what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be good, excuse me, whether there be wood therein or not. And be ye of good courage and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. We learned about that, the first fruits or vintage. The vintage, it was the time of the harvest of the grapes, the beginning, the harvest, the first fruits. But if God promises to bring them in and send an angel to deliver them and take them in, why does he need to have send out spies? Testing their faith, testing their faith, testing their obedience, testing if they heard or not. Parents, grandparents, sometimes you've tested your children. Did they hear your instructions? Did they hear your instructions? You look at them and you can say to yourself, they're not listening to me. My words are going out of my mouth, but they're not listening to me. I never heard that. I never heard you. I'm sorry. I didn't know that was the instruction. He's testing them. It's a test. So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob as men came to Hamath. And they ascended by the south and came to Hebron, where Ahiman, Sheshai, and Talmai, the children of Anak. And Anak, these were children, we learn later on in the book of Joshua, Caleb and Joshua take out this army. These are big people. This is where Goliath descendants come from and why Goliath was so big. These people were big. They were bigger than the Hebrew people. Now, Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. And they came unto the brook of Eshcol. I knew a preacher by the name of Eshcol. Lived way up into his upper age, 90. He was preaching in his 90s. And they came unto the brook of Eshcol and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bare it between two upon a staff, and they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. Wait a minute. You know how big those grapes must have been for them to have to put it on a bar between two men to carry it? It weighed so much. How much juice must have been in those grapes? Yeah, they must have been the size of a watermelon grape. I mean, they had to be, it was just a branch. One cluster of grapes, and it was so heavy they had to carry it on a bar between two men because it was so heavy. The land of milk and honey. And they brought pomegranates and the figs. And the place was called the Brook of Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And everything turns haywire from this point on. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel. So basically, they went from Dan to Beersheba. You've ever heard that expression, from Dan to Beersheba? Dan to Beersheba, Dan was the upper part of Israel. The tribe of Dan settled in the northern part, just south of Lebanon. And Beersheba was a southern city in Israel, the southernmost city. So when you say from Dan to Beersheba, it means they get that expression from the scriptures, from the Bible, and it means from one end to the other. And it was from the northern coast of Israel to the southern coast of Israel. And so they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran, where Kadesh Barnea was, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, "We came unto the land whither thou sentest, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great, and moreover, we saw the children of Anak there." Now, picture this, folks. This is after God destroyed Egypt, right? And the army of Egypt, okay? And the Israelites saw deliverance after deliverance after deliverance, plague after plague after plague, miracles of God, miracles of God, miracles of God, the glory of God, one after the next. Verse 29, "And the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan." And just a little side note, the Jebusites dwelled in Jerusalem up to the time of King David. King David is the one who removed all the Jebusites out of the land. Now, God, for those of you who may not know the history that well, God had promised this land to Israel, but there was a big gap from Abraham to Moses. And it was a gap of 400 years. These Canaanite people, these Hittites, the history of those people and what archaeologists have found are not worthy to be discussed in this room because of their disgusting lifestyle. Their sins were no worse and no better than Sodom and Gomorrah. And so God removed them from the face of the earth and was going to give that land to the Israelites. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men that went up with him said, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, "The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature." Verse 33, "And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, so we were in their sight." Now think of a grasshopper standing next to you in the lawn. How small is that little grasshopper compared to you? Very small. Do you think these 10 spies who gave an evil report, a negative report, and a pessimistic report, bunch of pessimistic men with no backbone, do you think they were exaggerating a bit? And all, verse 1, chapter 14, "And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness." Now, those of you who have read all this part and understand, you understand all the things that God did to get them to this point. All the deliverances, all the protection, the hand of God. The pillar by day and the pillar of fire by night. The pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. And God led them. And all the miracles that God brought upon Egypt and the destruction of the empire of Egypt. "And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness? And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey?" They're like complaining. God's taken us out into this wilderness. We're going to perish. Our children and our wives are going to be taken and ravaged and raped and killed in this wilderness by the enemies. "Were it not better for us to return unto Egypt?" What does that mean, return unto Egypt? They wanted to go back into the world. Yeah, easy peasy. Wanted to go back into the world. Go back. This is not the first time they said this, and it's not the last time they said this. "We want to go back to Egypt. We want to go back to Egypt. Go back into the world." "And they said one to another, Let us make a captain and let us return unto Egypt." Means let us cast aside Moses and Aaron and we'll make our own leaders. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. In Old Testament, when they rent their clothes, they tore their shirts, or they tore their coats, their mantle, their jackets. It was a symbol of agony. It was a symbol of deep remorse. When that symbol, they would tear their clothes. That was an Old Testament expression. And so they verse 7, and they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search, it is an exceeding good land. So Joshua and Caleb kept telling them, don't listen to the other 10 spies. Listen to us. It's a good land. They say here in verse 8, if the Lord delight in us, he's been delighting in them ever since he sent Moses to deliver them out of Egypt. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. What does that mean, they are bread? They're an easy win. They're an easy defeat. With God, nothing's impossible. We can defeat them. We can destroy them. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. And Joshua and Caleb could not get it through their noggin. And with their own eyes, they saw the Lord part the Red Sea. With their own eyes, they walked on dry ground. With their own eyes, they saw God cause the Red Sea to go back on the army of Pharaoh and army of Egypt. With their own eyes, they saw those things beside the 10 plagues that took place in Egypt. Hello? Nothing's upstairs. Verse 10, but all the congregation bade stone them with stones. They were about to stone Moses and Joshua and Caleb. They wanted to stone them. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? There's that word, provoke me. How long will it be ere they believe me? Or ere means before they believe me. How long will it be before they believe me? For all the signs which I have showed them among them. I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them. Is that a possibility? Being disinherited? Do parents, royalty, disinherit their children? Prince Andrew may get disinherited pretty soon. Keep up his shenanigans. I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them, and will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they. So he says, Moses, and this is not the first time the Lord said this statement. He said it at Mount Sinai. He said, I'll just kill them all and I'll make you a nation. You a nation of people. And Moses intercedes for the Israelites. And Moses said unto the children, when the Egyptians shall hear it, for thou broughtest up this people in thy might from among them, and they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land, for they have heard that thou, Lord, art among this people, that thou, Lord, art seen face to face, and that thy cloud standeth over them, and that thou goest before them by daytime in a pillar of a cloud and in a pillar of fire by night. Now, if thou shalt kill all this people as one man, than the nations which have heard the fame of thee will speak, saying, because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land which he sware unto them, therefore he has slain them in the wilderness. They're going to say, what kind of God is he? He did all that to Egypt, but he couldn't bring them into the promised land? Well, he's not an efficient God. He's not a God we want to worship. He's not a God we want to fear. If he can't sustain them from Egypt to the promised land, it's the same with us. God got you out of the world by saving you. He can see you through all the toils and tribulations of life, though sometimes it doesn't feel like it. Sometimes we get pouty and murmuring and discouraged and depressed. Verse 16, because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land which he sware unto them, therefore he has slain them in the wilderness. Verse 17, and now I beseech thee, let the power of thy my Lord be great, according as thou hast spoken, saying, the Lord is long-suffering. There it is, just as we read in Nahum. The Lord is slow to anger. The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Pardon. Now, Moses is still praying and interceding for Israel. Pardon. What does pardon mean? Forgive, right? Forget their sins. Forgive their sin. Who has the power to pardon? God, sins. Who has the power to pardon your criminal record? Or if you're in jail for something? The judge, the governor, or the president of the United States. Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people, according unto the greatness of thy mercy, and as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. And the Lord said, I have... Now, this is key right here. If you have a marker, you need this. Put parentheses around this, because these next few verses from verse 20 to 23... it encapsulates the whole premise of this message, okay? So verse 20 through 23, put parentheses around that. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. Notice he said, pardon. He forgave them. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, I mean, they were eyewitnesses, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times. We're going to talk about the 10 times. Doug, this is part one of who knows however many messages this will be. But tempted me now these 10 times and have not hearkened to my voice. And we will look at those 10 times next week. Surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it. That's the key point right there of this whole lesson. Surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers. He took them out of Egypt, but this generation was not going into the promised land.
You've been listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel, 13500 Tegler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and His coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible, the true voice of freedom. Please join us again next week, in person and right here on Freedom 95.